25. Following their June 2018 Singapore summit, the correspondence between Kim and Trump increased in both frequency and affection. "I just have arrived back in America, and the media for North Korea and you has been fantastic," Trump wrote to Kim on June 15th. "They have great respect for you and your country." Trump followed with a letter on July 3rd, urging Kim to work with Pompeo, who would visit North Korea to make progress on three objectives. First, returning prisoner of war remains. Second, allowing technical experts to visit a missile test site Kim agreed to shut down. Third, and most importantly, Trump wrote, "Secretary Pompeo is under my instructions to find agreement with you on taking the first major steps toward the final, fully verified denuclearization of the Korean Peninsula and toward a more peaceful future between us." Kim did not discuss specifics when he wrote back on July 6th. "The significant first meeting with Your Excellency and the joint statement that we signed together in Singapore 24 days ago was indeed the start of a meaningful journey," Kim wrote. "Wishing that the invariable trust and confidence in Your Excellency, Mr. President, will be further strengthened in the future process of taking practical actions, I extend my conviction with the epical progress in promoting the DPRK-U.S. relations will bring our next meeting forward." DPRK stood for the Democratic People's Republic of Korea, the formal name of North Korea. In letters over the months that followed, Kim and Trump heaped praise upon one another while gently underscoring the demands each had made in the Singapore negotiations. Both leaders said they hoped to broker an official end to the Korean War because hostilities only ceased under the terms of the 1953 armistice. Technically, they were still at war. On July 30th, Kim wrote, "I feel pleased to have formed good ties with such a powerful and preeminent statesman as Your Excellency, though there is a sense of regret for the lack of anticipated declaration on the termination of war." Trump replied on August 2nd, "It is now time to make progress on the other commitments we made, including complete denuclearization." If our historic meeting 2 months ago signaled a new beginning to the DPRK-U.S. relationship, Kim replied August 12th, "my next meeting with you will be an opportunity to plan for a safe and solid future. I'm sure that the effort you and I are putting forth will continue to bring about satisfactory results." On September 6th, Kim wrote Trump his longest and most specific letter yet, and started to put conditions on denuclearization. Historically, the U.S. had rejected conditions outright. "We are willing to take further meaningful steps one at a time in a phased manner, such as the complete shutdown of the Nuclear Weapons Institute or the Satellite Launch District and the irreversible closure of the Nuclear Materials Production Facility," Kim wrote in the September 6th correspondence. "I am deeply convinced that the many miraculous changes that we have brought about this year, beyond the imagination of everyone, will lead to many more in the future on the basis of the excellent relationship that exists between Your Excellency and myself." The two leaders made clear their mutual desire to meet again, often portraying their diplomatic relations as an us-against-the-world effort. "As I wrote in my previous letter," Kim wrote on September 21st, "my confidence and respect for Your Excellency will never change, though many people are skeptical about the current status and the prospects of the relations between our countries about our ideas of resolving the issue of denuclearization in the future. I, together with Your Excellency, will definitely prove them wrong." Trump wrote back in a 5-sentence letter on December 24th, "I look forward to our next summit and to making real progress on denuclearization and a really bright future for your people under your leadership in the year ahead." Then the next day, Christmas, Trump wrote Kim a much longer letter describing their Singapore meeting in almost romantic prose. "It has been 200 days since the historic DPRK-US summit in Singapore this past June. and the year is now almost coming to an end. Even now, I cannot forget that moment of history when I firmly held Your Excellency's hand at the beautiful and sacred location as the whole world watched with great interest and hoped to relive the honor of that day. As I mentioned at that time, I feel very honored to have established an excellent relationship with a person such as Your Excellency. As the new year 2019 approaches, critical issues that require endless effort toward even higher ideals and goals still await us. Just as Your Excellency frankly noted, as we enter the new year, the whole world will certainly once again come to see, not so far in the future, another historic meeting between myself and Your Excellency, reminiscent of a scene from a fantasy film. When I first read that Kim saw this as reminiscent of a scene from a fantasy film, I was shocked. Trump replied on December 28th, "I just received your letter and very much appreciate your warm feelings and thoughts. Like you, I have no doubt that a great result will be accomplished between our two countries and that the only two leaders who can do it are you and me." Trump added that Hanoi or Bangkok would be acceptable locations for their next summit. Trump wrote again on January 8th to wish Kim a happy birthday. "You will have many great years of celebration and success," he wrote. "Your country will soon be on a historic and prosperous path." On January 17th, Kim wrote to introduce a special envoy he was sending to Washington to arrange the next summit. "I would like to believe that while last year was a meaningful one in which we put an end to the long-standing hostile relations between the DPRK and the U.S. and made a commitment to a new future, this will be a more significant year that will see our bilateral relations develop into a new, higher stage," he wrote. Following envoy Kim Jong-chol's visit to Washington, the two nations agreed to a second summit between the two leaders in February in Hanoi. "We are together doing something very historic," Trump wrote to Kim January 18th. "I will see you soon." Unlike the other letters, which were typed and signed sincerely, this was handwritten in Trump's black magic marker and signed, "Your friend, Donald J. Trump." Trump wrote Kim once more before their Hanoi summit, sending a short note on February 19th, along with four pictures of their earlier meeting. "I look forward to seeing you next week," Trump wrote. "It will be great." On February 27th and 28th, 2019, the North Korea-United States summit was held in Hanoi, Vietnam. The two sides had intended to hold a signing ceremony on the last day, but the meeting fell apart. Trump and Kim spent 2 hours together with their respective staffs. News reports following the abrupt ending said Kim had offered to dismantle the Yongbyon Nuclear Scientific Research Center, the nation's major nuclear weapons facility located in the far north, but he would not go far enough in offering to dismantle other, more active facilities as well. And while Trump was prepared to undo some economic sanctions, the reports said, he was not prepared to fully lift 5 rounds of sanctions that had been devastating for the North Korean economy. Trump had his own version of events in Hanoi, as he related to me. "Almost from the start," Trump said, he instinctively knew Kim wasn't ready to get where he needed him to go. Kim was ready to give up one of his nuclear sites, but he had 5. "Listen, 1 doesn't help, and 2 doesn't help, and 3 doesn't help, and 4 doesn't help," Trump said. 5 does help." "But it's our biggest," Kim said, referring to the Yongbyon Center. "Yeah, it's also your oldest," Trump said. "Because I know every one of the sites. I know all of them. Better than any of my people, I know them. You understand that?" Kim would not budge from his position. "Do you ever do anything other than send rockets up to the air?" Trump asked Kim. "Let's go to a movie together. Let's play a round of golf." Finally, the reality set in. "You're not ready to make a deal," Trump said to Kim. "You're not there." What do you mean? The look on Kim's face was utter shock. You're not ready to make a deal, Trump said. I've got to leave. You're my friend. I think you're a wonderful guy, but we've got to leave because you're not ready to make a deal. Trump's implied message, Pompeo thought, was, don't shoot. We're friends. We can trust each other. We will work it out. The summit was reported as a failure. Letters between Trump and Kim following the Hanoi summit were cordial but infrequent. Their relationship got more attention than progress on denuclearization. Trump did not write again until 3 weeks later, on March 22nd, in a letter in which he pledged permanent friendship. Thank you again for making this long journey to Hanoi, he wrote. As I said to you when we parted ways, you are my friend and always will be. On June 10th, Kim wrote Trump another letter of verbose flattery. Like the brief time we had together a year ago in Singapore, every minute we shared 103 days ago in Hanoi was also a moment of glory that remains a precious memory, Kim wrote. Such a precious memory that I have in my unwavering respect for you will provide an impetus for me to take my steps when we walk toward each other again someday in the future. I also believe that the deep and special friendship between us will work as a magical force. Your Excellency, Mr. President, I still respect and lay my hopes on the will and determination that you showed in our first meeting to resolve the issue of our unique style that nobody had ever tried and to write a new history. Today's reality is that without a new approach and the courage it takes, the prospects for resolution of the issue will only be bleak. I believe the one day will come sooner or later when we sit down together to make great things happen, with the will to give another chance to our mutual trust. Such a day should come again. It may well be recorded as yet another fantastic moment in history. 2 days later, on June 12th, Trump wrote back to say he would like to meet again. It is hard to believe that a full year has passed since our historic first meeting in Singapore, Trump wrote. It was on that day, 1 year ago, that you and I made a number of extraordinary commitments to one another. You committed to completely denuclearize, and I committed to provide security guarantees. We both committed to establish new relations for our two countries and to build a lasting and stable peace regime on the Korean Peninsula. I completely agree with you. You and I have a unique style and a special friendship. Only you and I, working together, can resolve the issues between our two countries and end nearly 70 years of hostility, bringing an era of prosperity to the Korean Peninsula that will exceed our greatest expectations. And you will be the one to lead. It will be historic. Using Twitter, Trump proposed the next meeting between the two leaders as spontaneous. While in Japan on June 29th for the G20 summit, Trump tweeted, "If Chairman Kim of North Korea sees this, I would like to meet him at the border DMZ just to shake his hand and say hello!" The June 29th tweet was followed by a more formal letter later that same day. "As you may have seen," Trump wrote, "I am traveling today from Osaka, Japan, to the Republic of Korea, and since I will be so close to you, I would like to invite you to meet me at the border tomorrow afternoon. I will be near the DMZ in the afternoon and propose a meeting at 3:30 at the Peace House on the southern side of the military demarcation line. I have no specific agenda for our meeting, but I think it would be great to see you again since we will be so close to each other. Hope to see you tomorrow." Kim accepted Trump's invitation. On June 30, 2019, Trump and Kim met at the Joint Security Area, a zone of distinctive blue buildings on the border of North Korea and South Korea. The two leaders faced each other, Trump standing in the gravel on the South Korean side and Kim on the other side of a short concrete slab marking the actual border. "Would you like me to come in?" Trump asked. Yes, I would like you to come in, Kim replied. Trump walked over the border of the two countries, marking the first time a U.S. president entered North Korea, and the two leaders walked a few steps into North Korean territory. After the crossing, the two leaders spoke to each other briefly through interpreters. I want to thank you, Trump said, according to the official White House transcript of the exchange. Look, I mean, the world is watching, and it's very important for the world. Kim told Trump that he had been surprised by the president's letter the day before, proposing a meeting at the border. Meeting at such a place shows that we are willing to put an end to the unfortunate past and also open a new future and provide positive opportunities in the future, Kim said. If it was not for our excellent relation between the two of us, it would not have been possible to have this kind of opportunity. It was an honor that you asked me to step over that line, Trump said, and I was proud to step over the line. The event was an international media spectacle, but it achieved no immediate substantive diplomatic outcome. A ratings-minded president gets the shot he wanted, read a headline in the next day's Washington Post. Being with you today was truly amazing, Trump wrote to Kim on June 30th. Even the media, which always likes to say that everything is bad, is giving you accolades for inviting me into your country. They said you demonstrated great foresight and courage in accepting a meeting on such short notice and very public notice. Most importantly, I thought our meeting went very well. The potential of your country is truly limitless, and I am confident that incredible prosperity awaits you and your people in the future as we continue to work together. Attached to Trump's June 30th letter was a copy of the New York Times front page, which featured a four-column picture of Trump and Kim. Chairman, great picture of you, big time, Trump added in a marker. Trump wrote again July 2nd, sending 22 photographs along with his letter. It was an honor to cross into your country and to resume our important discussion, Trump wrote. I have tremendous confidence in our ability to strike a big deal that leads to immense prosperity for you and your people, sheds you of your nuclear burden, and inspires generations to come. These images are great memories for me and capture the unique friendship that you and I have developed. More than a month later, August 5th, Kim wrote Trump the longest letter exchanged between the two. The tone was polite, but the message was that relations between Kim and Trump may have cooled off for good. It sounded like a disappointed friend or lover. Kim thanked Trump for the pictures of their meeting at the border. I'm delighted to receive each and every single picture you specifically chose from that day, which holds special meaning and will remain an eternal memory from that momentous and historic day, he wrote. Those photographs now hang in my office. I express my appreciation to you, and I will remember that moment forever. But Kim was upset, he said, because military exercises by the U.S.-South Korea alliance had not fully stopped. My belief was that the provocative combined military exercises would either be canceled or postponed ahead of our two countries' working-level negotiations, where we would continue to discuss important matters, Kim wrote. Against whom is the combined military exercises taking place in the southern part of the Korean Peninsula? Who are they trying to block, and who are they intended to defeat and attack? He continued, conceptually and hypothetically, the main target of the war preparatory exercises is our own military. This is not our misunderstanding. As if to support our view, a few days ago, the person who they call the Minister of National Defense of South Korea said that the modernization of our conventional commercial weapons was deemed a provocation and a threat, and that if we continue to provoke and threaten, they will classify my administration and military as an enemy. Now and in the future, South Korean military cannot be my enemy. As you mentioned at some point, We have a strong military without the need of special means, and the truth is that South Korean military is no match against my military. Kim said he did not like the U.S. military's role. The thing I like even less is that the U.S. military is engaged in these paranoid and hypersensitive actions with the South Korean people. I am clearly offended, and I do not want to hide this feeling from you. I'm really very offended, the letter continued. Your Excellency, I am immensely proud and honored that we have a relationship where I can send and receive such candid thoughts with you. In remarks on the South Lawn of the White House on August 9th, Trump spontaneously brought up Kim's latest letter when answering a reporter's question on a different topic. While Kim's letter warned Trump had offended him, the president turned it on its head. I got a very beautiful letter from Kim Jong-un yesterday, Trump said. It was a very positive letter. What did it say? A reporter asked. I'd love to give it to you, Trump said. I really would. Maybe sometime I will. The CIA never figured out conclusively who wrote and crafted Kim's letters to Trump. They were masterpieces. The analysts marveled at the skill someone brought to finding the exact mixture of flattery while appealing to Trump's sense of grandiosity and being center stage in history.